Let's turn in God's Word now to Exodus in chapter 37. In Exodus 37, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 29. Exodus 37, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living God, and so let's give our attention to them. And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, to be set by the 4 corners of it, even 2 rings upon the one side of it, and 2 rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold beaten out of one piece, made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the end of this side, and another cherub on the other end of that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seatward, were the faces of the cherubims. And he made the table of shittim wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Also he made thereunto a border of a handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it the 4 rings of gold, and put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes, and his spoons, and his bowls, and his covers, to cover withal, of pure gold. And he made the candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work made he this candlestick, his shaft, and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And 6 branches going out of the sides thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. 3 bowls made after the fashion of almonds in 1 branch, a knop and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the 6 branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were 4 bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers. And a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was 1 beaten work of pure gold. And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of 1 talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was 1 cubit, and the breadth of it 1 cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about, and the horns of it. Also he made unto it 1 crown of gold round about. And he made 2 rings of gold for it under the crown thereof by the 2 corners of it, upon the 2 sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of shittim wood, and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil, and the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary. Those are God's words. Well, continuing here in chapter 37, from the last chapter, they built the tabernacle and everything here now within it, we see. And so verses 1 through 9, you see the building of the ark itself, with the mercy seat constructed on top of the ark, which points to and symbolizes, the mercy seat does, the throne of God, and thus the presence of God amongst His people. And one important thing here that you notice, not only with the ark, but the other pieces of furniture as well, is that they were not to be touched with human hands, but they made rings and they put poles through the rings to be carried that way, to show the holiness of God's worship and of God Himself. And then the cherubim on top of the mercy seat facing one another, facing inward, and teaching us there that everyone, including us in worship today, is to worship before the throne of God and face Him where He sits enthroned forever. And then through verse 16, the table of the showbread would be placed. And opposite that, in the tabernacle, would be the candlestick of the seven lamps through verse 24. And then, right next to the curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, or the most holy place, you would have, through verse 29, the altar of incense with its oil, and all this accordingly was made according to God's commandment alone. Praise the Lord. In these verses, we are reminded of Christ's presence amongst His people as we remember that His name, Christ's name, is Emmanuel, God with us, by His Holy Spirit in our hearts. We worship, and even as we gather now to worship before His throne, the mercy seat. And so we are reminded that He is here. Also, the bread of life. That He is the light of the world. That He is the perfect incense and aroma and His righteousness to cover our sins. And so made a way into the Holy of Holies for us. The veil being torn from top to bottom there at the cross as He died. And so making a way that we can come now to worship before His very throne in heaven. Spiritually, our hearts lifted up there before Him. And so then you are called to come unto Him today for your salvation, lest you perish forever. You have to come through Him, through Jesus, and no one else. Because He is the one who makes a way to glory. He is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. And His righteousness covers a multitude of our sins, all of them, to all who come to Him by faith, turning from their sins. And in that, if you believe, He says, you will have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You thanks today for Your Word. Once again, how precious it is to us and must be to us, as You command us to be meditating upon it day and night. We see even in the sermon this morning that we'll see from Jesus how important Your Word is and how important Your Word must be to us. Even in resisting the devil, that he would flee from us. That we have that gift from You, the sword of the Spirit, that divide that goes to the division of soul and spirit and bones and marrow. That Your Word is life-giving. Your Word, it is that we thought about in the call to worship just a little bit. It's Your Word that created the heavens and the earth by You, and You speaking forth. Just a word. Let there be light. And there was light. And let there be man grown from the dust of the earth, made in Your image. And so there was. All very good in your sight. And yet we have sinned against you and fallen from you. And we are guilty of ourselves. We are guilty before you. And how could we ever approach your holy throne in heaven? For we could not. For we are the people who have unclean lips, unclean bodies, and unclean hearts, unclean desires, unclean emotions. And there is no way to come to you except by your grace through Jesus Christ alone. And that's what we're appointed to here, that though we are sinners, you have given us of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you that He is our great High Priest who does not plead once a year for us, but His blood, once for all, covered a multitude of sins, all of our sins who are in Christ, your Son, who made a way that we would worship you, even despite our sin, being covered now by the blood of Christ, cleansed by the blood of Christ, so that we are now whiter than snow, no longer guilty, for our guilt and condemnation fell upon Christ there at the cross. And we are thankful for the gospel and that good news. Otherwise, we would perish forever. And we would be as nothing. Even our bodies being consumed by that worm that does not stop eating, and the fire that is never quenched. And yet we are saved from that condemnation and wrath, eternal wrath, by your Son Jesus Christ. And so we pray that today we would feed upon the bread of life, and that darkness that remains, perhaps all darkness, a little darkness, the sin that remains, Father, shine your marvelous light of your Son, that we would see the light and follow after your Son. And Father, today we do plead for our souls, that you would make us zealous for good works, zealous for the kingdom of Christ your Son, zealous for truth and righteousness and goodness and all the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all these things that you call us to, that you work within us. Father, we ask by your Spirit, work it within us. And grant us your grace. And pray that you would make us humble warriors for the gospel and your kingdom here on earth. That we would fight not with our hands or our arguments and words, but with your word, the great sword of the Spirit. And grant us faith that shields us even from the attacks of the devil. And give us that breastplate of righteousness found in Christ alone. And even the shoes of the gospel. Father, grant us all these things, that we would resist the devil and flee from, and he would flee from us. Even as we, your church, with the gospel, storm the gates of Hades, and your Son redeems many from there, of which they cannot stop us, because they cannot stop your Son, nor the gospel. And so, Father, we ask for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Just as you've promised, we ask that you would be faithful to all your promises. To our bodies, we ask that you would heal those who need healing. We ask that you would be especially with Deanne and Larry, as they're not feeling well today. We ask that you would be with Patricia and heal her of all her cancer, if that be your will, even now. And if not now, at the right time. And we believe and trust your will, even in such things, that your will might be that healing in glory with new glorified bodies. And so we put this in your hands and we trust you, that you are the great physician of our souls, so to our bodies. And so we entrust all of our bodies to you, even as frail as we are, that you would show forth your strength out of weakness and your grace and power out of our frailty. And Father, we ask that you would be with Marissa and Wendelin as they're due to Marissa's due to have birth soon. Pray that you would uphold her and strengthen her body and care for her and bring about Wendelin safely, and that she would know, not one day apart from Jesus your Son and salvation in Him. And so we pray for our children, our grandchildren, and all those that we have the blessed privilege of raising as parents and assisting those parents here in the church. We pray that your word would be heard in their ears and brought to their hearts, and your Spirit would be sent to accompany your word, bringing about regeneration and giving the gift of faith and working faith in each one, but not just our children, but each one here, from the youngest to the oldest. And where we do believe, help our unbelief. And Father, as we have prayed these prayers, we pray that your will would be done. And so as Jesus perfects our prayers, as he lives to make intercession for us, we pray that you would answer him, yes and amen. And your will would be done perfectly, knowing that you work all things together for our good, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.